Pray together. Lord God of heaven, we come on this beautiful Sunday morning to enjoy your presence and be changed by it. And so we ask this morning that as your word is read and proclaimed, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We ask that our hearts would be softened and prepared for the message you have for us. And we ask that we would be changed to reflect you more clearly, that we would be changed in ourselves, that we might understand you, we might be challenged by you, and we might be changed by you. These things we pray in your name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson is found in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. Listen now for the word of God. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As a parent, I have had the undying privilege of being awakened in the middle of the night by my children as they were afraid. Maybe they had a nightmare or heard a strange sound. Maybe the shadows in their closet looked menacing, but they called out, and half asleep, I stumbled into their room, muttering to myself something unintelligible about sleep or blankets or comfort or my teddy bear. I meant pillow. Anyway, as I try to comfort them, the first thing that I say to them every time, and maybe many of you have said this before, what I say is, there's nothing to be afraid of. It's a comment that I make to them out of compassion in an attempt to offer them some comfort. Turns out it's not very helpful for them because to them there is something to be afraid of. If there wasn't something to be afraid of, they would still be asleep, and so would I. Truth be told, when I tell my kids there's nothing to be afraid of, I'm being a little disingenuous because there are things to be afraid of. As we get older, perhaps we realize that some of the things we fear are not real. We realize that there are no monsters in the closet and then the boogeyman isn't lurking around the corner. But our fears do not disappear as we grow older, they simply change. Each of us had fears when we were younger that we no longer have, but each of us have fears now that we didn't have when we were younger. The world in which we live can be a terrifying place, and all you have to do is watch a half hour of the weekly news to realize it. So this morning's story, I think, is quite applicable for us. See, the disciples find themselves in a storm, and the storm fills them with fear because it's violent and it's uncontrollable. They have no way to make it stop or to keep it from overwhelming them. It's going to sink their boat, and it's going to kill them. Now, I have always loved the water. I love, my dad has a sailboat, and we used to go out on the lake, and I would jump in the lake. It didn't matter how deep the water, I loved the water. I still do. After I finished my dissertation, Jamie and I went on a cruise. And while on this huge cruise ship, I had my first realization of how dangerous the water really can be. As I looked over the edge of this boat and could see land nowhere, I realized that if I were to fall off this boat, I wouldn't even know which way to swim. I don't know how long I would be able to keep myself afloat in these waves. And the waves weren't that high. They weren't that strong, but they would have tossed me around like nothing. And I would have been powerless to do anything about it. That's kind of where the disciples find themselves. They know their powerlessness, but they're not in a huge cruise ship on gentle seas with endless food and bad entertainment. Their boat is vulnerable. It's not up to the task of saving them. It's not big enough or strong enough to get them safely to their destination, and they know it. And so they begin to look around them and wonder what they can do. And at this point, I'm sure they realize the only option available to them is to grab a bucket and start bailing water. I'm sure that's what they did. They grabbed whatever was at hand and they started bailing. But they're fighting a losing battle. The waves are filling the boat faster than their pails can empty them. They're trying to figure out any way out of this problem. They're trying to figure out how to bail water faster. All this with no realization of who's in the boat with them. And when they turn to Jesus and ask, "Don't you care that we are perishing?" You know what? They aren't asking Jesus to make the waves stop. They aren't assuming that Jesus can do anything about the circumstances. You know what I think they want? They want Jesus to grab a bucket. They want Jesus to grab a pail and start bailing. They want him to pull his weight. Listen, Jesus, you're going to die here too if you don't help us keep this boat afloat. Jesus is just another one of them. He's in the same predicament they are in their minds. And if he doesn't do this, if he doesn't do his share, he's going to die right alongside the rest of them. It's not difficult to imagine the terror the disciples face. It's not hard to imagine the fear of facing down circumstances that threaten to overwhelm us and are beyond our control. It's not hard to imagine the fear of being in a craft that seems unsuitable for the wind and the waves in which we find ourselves. It's not hard to imagine the fear that causes them to begin the futile attempt of bailing water from the boat. And it's not hard to imagine the fear that causes them to forget who's in the boat with them. Oftentimes, even if we do recognize who's in the boat with us, we have more faith in our ability to bail than the one who's in the boat with us. But look at how the story ends. I love the way the story ends. Jesus wakes up. You can almost see him rubbing the sleep out of his eyes. A big yawn, and he looks at the wind and the waves, and he says, "Shh." See, the disciples woke Jesus up because they wanted him to grab a bucket and start bailing water with them. They knew what they needed Jesus to do. They had the plan. They had determined the solution. All they needed was for Jesus to join them. But friends, their fear is not confronted in this story by bailing water. It's not confronted by a sudden burst of courage or resolve. It isn't overcome by having the right plan or the identification of some inner resources. As we read this story, it's not an invitation to find our own inner strength or our own solution. It's not an invitation to stand courageously in front of those things that threaten to destroy us. This story invites us to recognize who's in the boat with us. See, in the end, the bailing wasn't necessary. Because the disciples called upon the Lord of the wind and the waves without even realizing it. We're invited to do the same thing. We're invited to call upon the Lord of the wind and the waves, called to remember and recognize His Lordship. As I studied this week, I realized that after calming the storm, Jesus says something that I don't expect. Jesus has a different response for His disciples in their fear than I do when my children call me into their room. I always reassure my children with, there's nothing to be afraid of. I try comforting them by telling them their fears are unfounded. But Jesus didn't say there's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus asked, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? That's not the same thing. I try to insist to my children that there's nothing to fear, but there are things to be afraid of. The wind and the waves, they're terrifying. They often compel us to try everything in our power to resist them, and we find ourselves bailing frantically because there's something to be afraid of. Unless we realize that the wind and the waves have no power over the God in our midst. The things we fear are real, and we are often powerless against them. But they do not, they cannot, and they will not have the final word. When my children have called me into their room because they were afraid, there's one thing they always want from me. There's one thing that they want me to do. They don't ask me to chase the monsters away. They don't want me to make sure everything is safe. You know what they want? Every time, Daddy, will you lay with me? They want me to stay with them. Their fear isn't overcome by my unassailable logic. Their fear is overcome by my presence with them. They don't want to hear the disingenuous words, there's nothing to fear. They know there is something to fear. They want to hear, don't be afraid, you're not alone. They want to hear, don't be afraid, I'm with you. Friends, there are many things that we fear. Disapproval, rejection, a life marked by failure or meaninglessness. Illness that saps our ability to enjoy life. Death. Those waves seem to be the most fear-inducing. Not just our own death, the death of those we love, or the death of those communities we cherish most. The wind and the waves, they threaten us. We could perish in them. would probably be foolish to not fear them to some extent. But let's not ever lose sight. Let's never lose sight of who's in the boat with us. Even though there may be things to be afraid of, even though we may be buffeted on every side by the wind and the waves, the God of heaven and earth is in the boat with us. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Why are you afraid? I am here. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, we've had a lot of faithful pastors here at Crossroads. But even the greatest of them could do nothing more than grab a bucket and bail. It is the one on the cushion in the front of the boat. That is the one who will never leave this place. That is the one that will keep any boat afloat, that can calm any storm. So no matter who stands up here and does this, it is by the power of God that Crossroads is what Crossroads is. Don't ever forget that. Friends, as you go from this place, may you be convinced that neither death nor life, not angels or rulers, not things present nor things to come, that no power, no wind, no wave, not height nor depth, not anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go in the peace that can only be known in the confidence of that love. Amen.